Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. And today, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, I want to talk to you about too bad. I have heard several times when I'm witnessing the drivers and people tell me, well, Chaplain Joe, you just don't know what all I've done. You don't know my past. God could never forgive me. Well, let me, and you know, blowed my mind, but a driver come in the other day and said a church even told him that God didn't want them. Well, I got good news for the driver, bad news for the church, whoever that was, that number one, that's wrong. And I'm going to show you out of the Bible today where that's wrong. There's nothing that you can do that would keep you from getting saved. Now, I say that there is an unpardonable sin, but if you had crossed that line, if you had done that, it's my understanding, my belief, that if you do that, you're not going to be listening to this CD to start with. You're not going to be listening to anything to do with God. You would be totally cold to God, and you're not, because you're curious. Deep down inside, you're curious. Even if you're sitting there being critical, and that's okay, I don't care. Don't bother me. You're not criticizing me. You're criticizing the Word of God, okay? And believe me, from experience, I can tell you that ain't never going to work. Men, you don't argue with a road atlas, your wife, nor the Bible. And not necessarily in that order. Neither one are you going to win. Because God is right all the time. Now, I want to read you a little story out of Acts chapter 9 about a guy named Saul that his name changed to Paul. This is the same guy, but in before Christ, he was one bad dude. I've mentioned him before a lot of times in my teaching because I'm an admirer of Paul. And the reason I'm such an admirer is because I've seen this happen in the lives of other drivers, other people as well. And in other words, a guy that was so bad that when he got saved, he turned around and was that dedicated or that turned on to Jesus. Paul, when his name was Saul, he went about persecuting Christians and even stoning them. He was present, giving his agreement to the stoning to death of Stephen. Now, that's another awesome story we don't have time to get into today, but that's the only time in the Bible, by the way, the stoning of Stephen is the only time it's recorded that Jesus stood up. He stood up, and he was saying, that's my man. I can depend on Stephen all the way down. But there was a guy there named Saul agreeing to all that. Chapter 9 of Acts, verse 1 and following. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were in the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, let's stop right there. That's verse 1 and 2. First of all, he said he went and got the approval from the priest. He's going to stop this thing called the believers going around. He's going to stop this movement for Jesus Christ. The way is called here in that verse, in verse 2, when he says the way, it's talking about the group of believers or the followers of Jesus Christ. They were called the way. And Paul was saying, you know, I'm going to stop this mess. But you know what, Mr. Miss Trucker? You may think you're going to stop it, but you're not. You may think that it's going down, but it's not. You may think it's, you as a born-again Christian are not going to win, but you are, you know. And this past election here in 2008, I don't know when you're listening to this, but in 08, we had an election of a president that kind of startled everybody. But you know what? God got everything under control. God knew that was going to happen when he created Adam, and thus we have no need to worry. Anyway, back to Paul. It says, as he journeyed, verse 3 now, Acts chapter 9, verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, watch this. Now, here's a guy that didn't serve God, would probably tell you that all this stuff about Jesus is a bunch of hooey, like some of you, and I have many times. Oh, my. back before December the 19th, 1971, I was guilty of the same. You know, I would laugh in your face. You talk about God to me, and I was raised in the church. I knew better than that. But you know what? I was going to do my own thing. I was going to be my own man, you know, and I'd heard some things that were not true, that were not biblically true, that turned me off, and you have too. You've been treated by people in ways that have turned you off to the church, so to speak. But now let me tell you something. Don't leave because of one or two people. Don't leave because of people at all. It don't matter if there's 100,000 of them. They can be wrong. What you need to do is line yourself up with the Word of God and get in a Word-teaching church. Now, here's what's interesting to me about this. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He called him Lord. He knew it was God. And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, I've been told, I don't know for sure, but his goads were spikes in the back of the braces when the oxen were pulling a wagon, and they would kick, it would hurt their foot so they'd stop them from kicking. In other words, you know, they would sometimes get unruly and kick back with their back feet, and they would kick into these spike things, and it hurt them, and so that stopped them. He's saying the same, he's equating that here to Paul. You're kicking against it, and you're not going to win, Paul, or Saul at that time, I'm sorry, his name was still Saul. Verse 6, "So he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?'" You know, first of all, he recognized the lordship there. He recognized the authority of God speaking to him. "Mr. and Ms. Trucker, that's a smart thing for you to do. Now listen, like I said, you say, well, you've been too bad. You haven't been bad as Saul, man. If you read his background, my word, he's done it all. But in just a short time, his life was transformed by the power of God. But anyway, he said, "What do you want me to do?" "Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." He couldn't even see where he was going. They say this happened in the middle of the day, and yet the light superseded the sun so much that it blinded him. Can you imagine that? That was a bright light. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now he's in Damascus, okay? They brought him into town, and here he is. And he says, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias?' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Boy, I wish I answered like that all the time, don't you? When God calls on you to do something, don't you wish you'd just say, "Here I am, Lord. You name it, I'm ready to go." But Ananias was a true servant of God. But now watch how this unfolds here in the next couple of three verses. This is an amazing story. He said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying." In other words, Ananias, you ain't going to believe this, but this old boy's over there praying. Now, listen to what, and let's go on just a minute. "And in a vision," this is what the Lord is telling Ananias, "and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Now, here's the human side of Ananias, you know. Remember who we're talking about. This is Saul, the persecutor. This is Saul, the murderer. And at verse 13, Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name." He said, "Are you kidding me? You want me to go and minister to him? You want me to go and lay my hands on him and pray for him to be healed?" You know, his thoughts were probably, "I got a better idea. Let's go cut his head off." I mean, after all, see, he doesn't know that the transformation has happened. all that Ananias is going by is Paul's, or as you were, Saul's history and his testimony, so to speak, that's going to turn into a testimony, I should say. His past was horrendous. He was a terribly, terribly bad person, and he did a lot of crime. He did a lot of evil. And so Ananias said, "Are you sure you want me to go over there?" Verse 15, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" Listen, when God is with you, nobody can be against you. When God is with you, you cannot fail. When you, me, anybody else, when Truck Stop Ministries is moving in the power of God, in the will of God, and in the timing of God, very important part, moving in the timing and will of God, it absolutely cannot fail. The Lord said to Ananias here, see, he's a chosen vessel of mine. Well, you know what, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, you guys, you people, men and women both, some of you women come from background that Satan has been telling you in your mind that you could never be used of God. Some of you have had abortion, and you feel bad about it. But I got news for you. There's forgiveness for you. Some of you are involved in homosexual activities right now, and people tell you, your conscience tells you, you could never live straight. You can't do that. Well, I got news for you. That's a lie also. You can if you want to. Because, not because of you, not because what I might say, but because of the power of God. The power of God can set you free. It can deliver you from anything that you've got yourself enslaved to. No, you're not too bad. That's right. You've not sinned too much. You know, all it takes, and when I say this like this, I know you say, well, it can't be that easy, but it is. I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's so simple. All you have to do is repent. Now, let me tell you something. Repentance is more than just saying some idle words. Repentance comes from the heart, not the mind. Now, sometimes people get caught in a sin, and they apologize because they got caught. They don't repent. Apology means, "I'm sorry you caught me." And repentance means, "I'm sorry I did it." There's a big difference there. And, of course, the one that apologizes usually goes back and does it again. The one who repents, repent means to turn around, go the other way, by the way. Repentance means turning around. And the one that repents keeps following the Lord and never looks back at that sinful past that he was in, such as whatever you might have been involved with. I had a good friend of mine. He's in heaven today. And he was actually a hitman with the family. He actually did that. He was the one to come get you if you don't pay your dope bill. You know what? And God saved this man. And he was on heroin himself at the time. He was shooting up heroin in his veins. And God not only saved him, he set him free. Just like Saul, he called him to his work. He became a minister of the gospel. I know him personally. I knew him until he died. In fact, I had the opportunity to minister at his going away celebration. I'll never forget, Jan and I had been on a trip, and by now the cancer had taken its toll on his body, on his brain, and they had operated on his brain and could not get the whole cancer out. The operation was done in Birmingham, Alabama, and Jan and I was coming back off of a trip, and we went to his home to see him. He was in a hospital bed at home at the time. There was nothing else that could be done. No medication could do anything. We were all praying for a miracle, and we got a miracle. It just wasn't what we had in mind. That's right. Just like with our little Maggie last year. You know, I wanted her to be healed. I wanted her to be whole. I wanted her to grow up and go through school and college and have a family and enjoy life. God had a bigger, better plan. You see, I've been working on my ministry. I'm 61 years old right now, and she completed her by the time she was six, so she was much better than me. I've been working on my ministry and trying to get done what the Lord wants me to do, and she completed hers. But And this brother I was talking about, he passed away in the living room of his home. But Jan and I come by, we went by to see him, and he called me over to his bedside and asked me would I assist in his funeral. Him, his pastor, and me did his funeral. And you know what? I hated losing my friend. I didn't want that to happen. But I could stand in the pulpit and talk about the goodness of God, because God delivered this man from his past, took that heart of stone out of him that didn't care about your life. When I met him, he had a double-barrel shotgun cut off to about 2 feet long overall, called it his twice-barrel, and carried brass nucks in his pocket. A lot of times he had a pistol strapped to the calf of his leg. And this was right after he got saved, I met him. And he became part of our life and was for many years, served the Lord many years. He grew out of that. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, you don't change everything overnight. Spiritually speaking, the minute you pray, the minute you repent and mean it from your heart, that very second, that very instant, God supernaturally delivers you. God supernaturally forgives your sins and sets you free. But our flesh has to be trained, you know. But all it takes from us is repentance. And, you know, I was looking in my Bible as I was thinking about this and studying. All the way back to Leviticus, he tells us that it was talking about the law and how the priest would make atonement on that day. But it said that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. In other words, there was atonement back then. And then in Leviticus 26, he said, well, I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath. It's talking about people who have turned their back on God, who are living like you are. But you know what the end of that story is? It's down in verse 40. Verse 40 said, But, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, in other words, their sins, if they confess their sins and with their unfaithfulness, in which they were unfaithful to me, I will remember, he goes on to say, I will remember the covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God will, even then, through the killing of animals, through the slaughter of animals, through the shed blood, sin was covered. Now, the problem with that was it was only covered. It didn't eliminate them. They had to go back and do it again and to go back and do it again and go back and do it again. But you know what? Today, there was a, well, not today, but about 2,000 years ago, a little over that now, praise God, there was a perfect lamb. There was a perfect offering made, and his name was Jesus Christ, covered all our sins. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, it don't matter what you've done or what you've not done, that the blood of Jesus Christ has not only covered your sins, it eliminated them. And all we have to do is repent. Listen to this. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. Notice that. Cleanses us from all sin. You see, and he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So anybody says they don't sin's lying. That's just bottom line. In verse 9, though, you hear me do this a lot at chapels. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, praise the Lord, what a promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, he says it again in the same passage of Scripture. He not only will forgive our sins, but he will cleanse us. He will clean us up. He will remove it from us. Verse 10 says, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word not in us. Well, you know, again, anybody says they haven't sinned or don't sin is lying. But you don't live in sin. You know, when you stumble and make a mistake, you get up and ask the Lord to forgive you and say, I've learned from that and I'm not going there again. By the help and the power of God, I'm not going to do that no more. You know, so he's saying here, Mr. and Ms. Tucker, he started out in Leviticus saying that our sins could be cleansed, our sins could be taken away if we just confess it and repent and turn. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says if we turn from our wicked ways, right? That's what it takes. See, when you confess, when you repent, that is, you turn around. You go to the other way. Now, there's some wonderful benefits after you've made that turn. Psalms 103, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. Notice that. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Wow! What a promise, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. When you repent and turn from your wicked ways, when you change your lifestyle, you see, there's going to be a change. When Jesus comes into your life, if you pray with a chaplain somewhere or with anybody anywhere, or if you're right by yourself and just say, Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost without you. I know I'm doomed to hell, but I also know you died. Jesus died on the cross. You raised him from the dead, and thus my salvation is paid for. I repent of my sins. I'm turning from my ways, and I want you to help me walk in your righteousness. When we do that, he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, redeems our life from the pit, it says in verse 4 of Psalms 103, and crowns us with love and compassion. There again now, here's one of the things you're going to notice that changes in your life. I was astounded in my own life one day when after I'd been saved for just a little while, I was driving my truck, of course, and I was at a place loading. There was three of us there loading, and lunchtime came up, and everybody quit for lunch. So we piled in I think it was my truck. Anyway, we went over to a restaurant, sit down to eat, and I had a lot of hatred in my heart. Man, I came back from Vietnam in 1968 with an attitude, and I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. I wish I could go back and erase the whole thing, but I can't. Can't go back there. Can't live in the past. I'm just so thankful that God forgave me on December the 19th, 1971, when I said, Father, I have sinned against you, and I'm a sinner, I'm lost, and on my way to hell, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. You know what happened that night? He did. He forgave me, he cleansed me, and set me free, and I didn't know that he started working on the hatred that I had in my heart. Here I am sitting at a table in a restaurant with someone I was supposed to be hating, and yet I found out I had love in my heart for them. You know, God had taken that old heart of coal, that old cold nature of mine, and changed it and put love and compassion instead. He says in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Though they were red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat from the best in the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, you and I have a choice to make every day, really. You have a choice to make, to follow God or not follow God. To be, it says, be willing and obedient, willing to follow God's leading, willing to do what he says, and obedient to his word, and let him change you. Let him do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. Let him change you. And the way you do that is listening to the word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You need to hear it, not read it silently. No, sir. You need to hear it. You need to get it on CD or tape, and whatever your truck may have. And every time you go to bed, especially, let it play. Let it play while you're driving down the road. Just so it's going in you. You see, what you hear goes in your spirit, man, good, bad, or ugly. What you read goes into your mind, and that in your mind is your intellect or your soul. Technically, the soul is the intellect or the mind where all your thought processes are, and that's where Satan plays. That's his playground, man. But your spirit man, that's where God lives. When you're born again, Jesus, well, God, the Holy Spirit, technically, we say Jesus lives in me. Technically, it's the Holy Spirit of God. He said, Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I'm going, I'm leaving you, but if I don't leave, the Comforter can't come, the precious Holy Spirit, and he'll teach you about everything that I told you. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God lives in every born-again Christian, and because of that, we can read the Bible and understand it. So, Mr. and Ms. Tucker, you're not too bad. You haven't done too much. The Word said there in Isaiah 1, even though your sins are like scarlet, in other words, blood red, super bad, don't get no worse than that, they shall be white as snow. Though they were red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If, verse 19, Isaiah 1, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. In other words, and one way you can look at that is you will enjoy life. I tell you, life just don't get no better. And we have things that attack us all the time. Jan said the other day, it looks like we moved from one crisis to another. Well, hey, that's the way it is when you're in war. She and I both know that. We know that. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, especially when we accepted the calling into the ministry and set out to do God's work, you'd be in la-la land if you think Satan's not going to attack you, man. I landed in Vietnam and at the ripe old age of 19. I'll never forget it. I was laying on my cot one day. For some reason, I was off. It wasn't working. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me that, you know, we'd had an attack the night before and got pretty woolly there for a few minutes and there for a while. And I was laying there, and it dawned on me, there's nobody in this whole country that cares where I live or die but me. I'm the onlyest one on my side. That's scary, man. And everybody over there that lived there was trying to kill me. Satan wants to destroy you, man. But the blood of Jesus is the only thing that stops him. Mr. and Ms. Tucker, I tell you what today. Glory to God. If you'll give Jesus Christ control of your life and get in his word, begin to listen to his word, get some good teaching from places, join a local church at home if you can, become part of that. If not, call us. If you can't do that, we'll make something else happen so you get fed the word. I'm telling you that you can walk in the word and enjoy the best from the land. That don't mean you'll have the biggest car, the biggest house. That don't mean you'll have a lot of money in the bank. But I tell you what you will have, you'll have a lot of peace in your heart. And money can't buy that. You know that. Some of you have tried to buy it, and it just don't work. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy peace. But I tell you what, even in our struggles, even when I was standing there watching Maggie leave this world, watching my precious 6-year-old granddaughter, had hurt nobody. She had done no wrong. She was just an innocent little baby that loved God with all of her heart, loved to go to Sunday school and church with her Mimi, her other grandmother. She took her all the time to Sunday school and church. We found out afterward, we talked to Sunday school teachers, how much little Maggie loved Jesus and loved the Lord. And standing there in that ICU unit at Eggleston Hospital in downtown Atlanta, 3:00 in the morning, watching life leave her body, it tore me apart. But you know what? Even through that, God gave us peace. Because we have the hope, we have the knowledge, we're going to see her again. It's not always going to be easy, Mr. and Ms. Tucker, but it's always going to be possible. God never said it'd be easy, and I'm not telling you today that give your life to Christ and there'll be a life on easy street. That's simply not true, because the enemy's going to come at you from every direction. He will attack you, but the good part is he can't win. Hallelujah. God has given us spiritual weapons to fight him with. 2 Corinthians 10, I believe it is, 4, says that our war is not flesh and blood, but it's spiritual. And we have spiritual weapons God has issued us. And we got the full armor of God that we put on, buckle in the belt of truth around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, our feet being fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the shield of faith round about us, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible, which is the Word of God. You see, once we learn how to use the equipment God has given us, then his attack just bounce off of us. So what if I lose my house? So what if I lose my car? So what if I don't lose my truck? So what? I still got Jesus in my heart. So what if I lose my whole family? I still got Jesus in my heart. And I tell you what, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, you can walk in that kind of peace. Know you're not too bad. Know you've not done too much. You've not ran too far because you're still breathing and then still hope. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. What an awesome promise, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. All you have to do is pray and ask him to forgive you. In fact, why don't we do that right now? Why don't you just, right now, God is dealing with your heart. You're there in the cab of your truck or wherever you are. Listen to this CD. Listen to this teaching, which I thank you for doing. With all of my heart, I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen. But why don't we pray this together? And according to the Word of God, you will be saved. Just say this. Now, you know you're a sinner. You believe Jesus died for your sin. You believe he rose from the dead. You believe God raised him from the dead. And Jesus is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He was God the Son when he was born of the Virgin Mary. And he went and he died on the cross, was raised from the dead. Then 1 John 1:9, we read earlier in the teaching, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he will blot our sins out of the record. They won't even exist no more. If you pray this from your heart and mean it with all your might, say, Heavenly Father, that's right, just repeat it with me. Don't close your eyes. You don't have to be kneeling down. It don't matter if you're standing up, laying down, whatever. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. So, Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to help me walk out this Christian life. Help me to be the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. I promise to do my very best in living this life before you. And I'll read your word. Help me understand your word when I open it and read it. Help me understand it when I hear it. I'll put your word in my heart, and I'll do my best to live for you every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me, saving me, and cleansing me from all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now listen, if you meant that from your heart, please take a minute, call the 800 number on the CD. If it's at night, they can only answer one at a time in the evening because of cell phones. But please call back. If you can, call during the day. Tell the office, I listened to a tape CD with Chaplain Joe, and I prayed that prayer with him, and I gave my life to Christ. We want to put you on our prayer list and be lifting you and your family up, and you've just joined our family. You know, you may can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. You stuck with me now throughout all eternity. I just promise I won't sing. Listen, please call. Please take a minute and call, because that's what you need to do is confess before men, before somebody, I am now born again. I have asked Jesus into my heart. Thank you for listening today. And hey, isn't it great to know you're not really all that bad? You wasn't bad. You wasn't too bad for Jesus to save. You're now born again, child of the Most High God. Again, thanks. If you see the Miracle Bus 2 sitting somewhere, please look me up. I'm around the truck stop, wherever it's sitting, or I might be at a meeting. Give me a call. Love to meet you sometime. Thank you for listening again. Chaplain Joe saying, I'll see you here, there, or in the air.